Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings Network, here with brand new episodes every other week. More about that new Disney park in the news later on. Also, we've got a top tip if you are taking a car to Walt Disney World. We'll chat Disney World with Drew, who'll give us some top vegan dining tips. And we have your questions answered on the socials at Pod Magical is where we are. Any questions, anything you want to know, you can drop me a message. I'll do my best to answer. Hello to Sam. Quick one. Just wants to know, do I need to print out my Esther to take with me? Well, yes and no. Really, no. I always used to print one off, but you don't really need to print it off because it's linked to your passport. So when you check in for your flight, as long as you've got an Esther connected, it'll be fine. I have the Esther app, so it's always on there, and you can screenshot it for your phone as well. But you don't really need to print it off. However, if you're going to be going on a cruise at the other end, either Disney or Royal Caribbean, quite often they will ask to see a printed copy of the Esther when you check in for a cruise. But generally, you don't need to print one out. You do need one. Remember, I've mentioned this a few times because I made that mistake a couple of years ago. Your Esther is linked to your passport. So if you get a new passport, you need a new Esther. Even if you thought, oh, I've got 18 months left on this one. No, if you've got a new passport, you need a new Esther. Any questions, drop me a message on the socials at Pod Magical. Let's welcome Drew to the podcast, who accidentally bought DVC. This is going to be an interesting one, Drew.
I'm going to do my very best, Andy, me old mucker, me old China, me old Epcot cookie jar.
If you accidentally bought DVC, you obviously loved Walt Disney World, but you've only been once.
Yeah. We decided to buy DVC on our first day in Magic Kingdom, which, you know, I think that's the way it goes for most people, isn't it? You spend a couple of hours in the park and then you go, I think I'm going to drop a second mortgage here and decide to come back over and over again. That's usually how it goes, right?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. off your face on pixie dust is what a lot of people refer to that as.
Yeah.
Caught in the moment.
It was a combination of that and then making the mistake of leaving my wife alone in the park, and she found a DVC booth and was very much entranced. We'd gone over for the first time. We'd gone straight into Magic Kingdom. I asked my daughter what she'd like to do first. She screamed Stitch because my daughter is, I think, sufficiently responsible for the sort of wave of Stitch madness that seems to have overtaken the UK and France and things. So I take her down to Tomorrowland. Do you know where the Stitch meeting is in Tomorrowland, Andy?
Yes. Yeah, so it used to be an attraction there, but now it's just an empty shell.
Yeah,
Stitch is still there.
Sort of around the back end of Buzz Lightyear. And so we're standing there waiting, and bear in mind, this is early September. So it's absolutely sweltering hot. There's a couple of umbrellas up, but you know, I felt sorry for Stitch in all the fur. But so anyway, I'm saying to my wife, we don't need to all be here. I can stand with her. You go and, you know, find some AC, go and get a drink or something. I'll just give you a call when we're done, because it was a fairly long line. So she wanders off, and then I get a text about 30 minutes later. I'm at the DVC booth, and I had an inkling of what that was likely to mean. So I go and find her afterwards, and she says, oh, you know, they've said they'd be very happy to take us, you know, backstage, and we can take this van and they'll take us over to the Contemporary and we can have a chat with people about this. And I mean, don't get me wrong, the prospects of coming back to Disney year on year was utterly delightful. But bear in mind, Andy, I was about an hour and a half into my first ever visit to Magic Kingdom after wanting to go for probably 35 years. So I was like,
yeah,
I'm not sure. And she went, well, you know, we don't have to, but, you know, this, that and the other, they've offered us some free drinks and stuff backstage. And she knew that that was going to get me, that I was going to get to kind of see some of the behind the scenes type stuff, even if it was just a fleeting glance as we walked to a van. So we went, we met a very lovely lady called Ashley. She laid it out for us. One of the really nice things about the DVC team, and I've heard other people talk about this on your podcast, but it's very low pressure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Disney, they're probably slightly less financially comfortable than they were 10 years ago, but they're still pretty comfortable. They're not locking the doors. It's not hard sell. It's a layout of information. They know they're talking to people who are actively interested. So they just kind of let you sit with it, spend as much time with it as you want. We didn't have to spend very much time at all. So we took a trip out to a couple of different places. We looked at Animal Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge, which was stunning, very, very beautiful, but quite far away from all the parks, and you've only got the bus and everything else. And then they took us to the Riviera, which, you know, up until recently was the newest resort, and anybody who's been there or seen vlogs or, you know, photos or anything, it is stunning, stunningly beautiful in every single way. Small as well, which we really, really liked. I think it's only got something like 300 rooms compared to somewhere like Caribbean Beach, which is, you know, in the thousands, I believe. So that was really, really kind of cool looking. And basically she took us up to the 3-bed villa, as they do,
you know. Of course you did.
Look at where you could stay if you take sort of 800 points a year or something. But anyway, we were in there, and then, yeah, lo and behold, we signed on the dotted line. It was all incredibly easy, to the point where we sort of went, it's not this easy, is it? Because well, they don't even do proper sort of, if you're a UK citizen, they don't do full sort of credit checks and things either, so you don't even have that slowing you up. So yeah, by the end of the day, there we were DVC. What was nice about that was you get your perks straight away. So we got all of our discounts in the parks for the rest of that trip, and there was no Disney blues because we knew, you know, we were going to be coming back. That's within the year. It allowed us to change plans a little bit, because I, as I'm sure we'll cover a little bit more, I plan to the nth degree. But what was nice about knowing we were coming back, because this, and I'm sure you've never heard this before, Andy, but we were only going to go there once, trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, well, funny you should say that, yeah.
Except every guest
on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's strange how that seems to happen, how everyone seems to get enveloped in the warmth of Disney World and wants to go back, or feels a need, a pull. So it allowed us to relax to a degree. I wouldn't say, you know, fully relaxed, because we still wanted to make the most of all the time that we had there. But the security of knowing that anything we can't do this time, anything that we don't see, anywhere we don't eat, we are coming back, and we're coming back in short order. And that was really, really lovely. I think on the flight home, there was a bit of a what have we done? But, you know, apart from that, it's been grand. And then, you know, you get your special Disney magazines turn up a few times a year, and you get your box full of beautiful welcome home things arrive when you get back from your holiday, and all these lovely little reminders that you're going back sometime soon. And it's great. So yeah, we've got our first stay at the Riviera coming up in September, and I am literally counting down the days.
Oh, fantastic. And of course, you can go to California and you can go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
That will save your packet if you fancy Hawaii.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, we're not all members of the Six Classels Club. So, you know, it's something that's on our bucket list to do at some point. And this certainly helps facilitate that. I think also you've got the exchange as well. So you don't even have to go to Disney properties. You can use your points and there's that option to kind of go and stay all over the world if you want to and kind of use things that way. So if for some reason, I can't fathom why we didn't want to visit a Disney resort, that's there as well.
Yeah.
So it felt very, very flexible. And that was a really big appeal for us as well. I think it didn't feel like, you know, you can come to this one hotel on these particular dates or nothing. This was a whole world of possibilities. And, you know, it was sort of a secret bucket list of mine to visit all the parks one day. I didn't quite know how I was going to manifest that, but this is then really opened that up for us. And it's massively exciting to be able to do so.
So let's go back to the start. Mm. Why were you in Walt Disney World in the first place? Because you said you wanted to go, what, 30, 35 years ago?
Yeah.
So how come it's taking you so long?
Picture, if you will, Andy, a ruddy-faced ginger boy in the early 90s who is from quite a not financially secure area. We certainly didn't have the money for holidays abroad, let alone Disney World. But I had friends who did go. I had one friend in particular who was fortunate enough to kind of go every other year. And his dad would carry round, you know, I can't imagine how heavy it was, but one of these great big camcorders that probably, you know, you had to pay extra baggage for, I would think, because of it being the early 90s. And he would, you know, he'd come back every year with these home videos of the Walt Disney World Resort and Epcot and, you know, the MGM studios and all of that sort of stuff. And so I would go over to his house and I would sit and watch these videos of someone else's family enjoying Walt Disney World. To the point, I think he started to get a bit annoyed. I was watching these every week and not playing with him or, you know. But I was fascinated by it. I was fascinated by, you know, Haunted Mansion and Figment and Captain EO and all of this sort of stuff that you couldn't get your hands on unless you were physically there. You know, Figment in particular, I was sort of like, well, he must be tied into a movie or a cartoon series or something, you know, which apparently Bob Iger's talking about doing that, maybe doing some sort of short form series about Figment, which is very exciting. But it really spoke to me and made it something that I desperately wanted to do and just never really had the finances for, certainly not as a child. And then when I was older, couldn't really justify. I'd been to the States for a few other reasons, but I couldn't justify going and spending the money to be over there. So cut to me being nearly 30 and I meet my wife, and on our first date we talk about our mutual love of Disney and you know, Disneyland and World and everything else. I still hadn't been to a park. And once we sort of knew it was a serious thing, we said to ourselves, well, you know, particularly after we got married, we said, well, we the year we both turned 40 is also the year of our 10th wedding anniversary. Wouldn't it be amazing to do that as a celebration, you know? And we sort of said, yeah, let's do that. And so for sort of 9 years, we planned to do this when we turned 40. And, you know, it's this big joint celebration, you know, 2.5 to 3 weeks, go all out, really do our best. And of course, by that point, we had a little girl as well, my daughter, who's probably going to listen to this. So hi, Beanie.
Hello. You're going back to Disney World every year for the rest of your life.
Oh, she knows. She hears about it every day. I think it's a real toss up between who gets more excited about it, me and her. So, yeah, and we managed to end up doing it. I mean, I did Disneyland Paris for the first time in 2015 with my wife, which was absolutely magical, you know, just getting to go and sniff the sniffs on Main Street. And, you know, it's a gorgeous park. And so we went a couple more times. We went, like I say, that first time with just myself and my wife. And then after that, we took my daughter when she was 2 and again when she was 4. And sort of indoctrinated her early. We gave her the childhood that we'd wanted. And yeah, I mean, I'm all things Disney anyway. I'm a massive fan of animation in general. And you know, the nostalgia of it and everything else is just really, really exciting, warming stuff that you can absolutely see why people feel the need to go back year on year, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about the planning process then. You've decided you're going to go.
Yeah.
Big birthdays, big anniversaries. So how did you decide where you were going to stay and how you're going to get there and what you were going to do? What was your planning process? What were the thoughts behind it?
Well, I have followed various blogs and vlogs and things for a good while. So I had a rough idea of how I wanted to do things. We homeschool our daughter, so we had the privilege of being able to go in a quieter time of the year, so which is why we went in September. We didn't have to worry about her missing school. We could go when, you know, kids on both sides of the ocean were in school as well. So rates were going to be a little bit cheaper. Park was going to be a little bit quieter. So in terms of when we were going to do it, we were going to do it then. Funnily enough, I've only ever been to Disney parks when it's been decorated for Halloween. And I think, again, that ties into the budgeting thing, but because we always go sort of September, October, we've always been, and it's been decked out for Halloween at Paris and in Florida. Yeah. So another part.
Cheapest time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's fantastic, especially getting to go and do the not so scary Halloween party. And, you know, the whole family's a big fan of Halloween, and no one does Halloween quite like America. So it was really fun to go and kind of get my daughter to do traditional trick or treating and things like that. Once we decided that, we looked at financially what we were going to do, where we were going to stay. My wife loves Disney, but is very interested in seeing more of Florida and more of the states, whereas I could quite happily just be dropped off at the Magic Kingdom TTC and picked up on the last day to go back to the airport. So we sort of split the difference. We stayed on International Drive last time, you know, sort of budget resort, very, very lovely, a little bit sort of, you know, that kind of Brits abroad feel. It was, you know, a lot of British people there, but it had its own sort of self-enclosed water park and everything. So that helped keep the cost down there. And then the planning for it all began. So I am a Excel spreadsheet kind of guy. I'm a watching, you know, listening to the podcasts, watching the vlogs, reading the books kind of guy. You know, the other thing that I needed to look into was the fact that none of us eat meat or dairy. So historically, when we've been to Paris, that's been a little bit of an issue because whilst there are options, France are definitely not as on board with the sort of vegan veggie movement as, you know, other places. So I was really cautious to kind of check out what was going on there. There's so many options in Walt Disney World, Florida. Yeah,
every restaurant or quick service or snack place, there is a great plant-based option.
There really is. And anywhere you're sitting down, you know, they are always happy to make modifications for you and things like that. Again, just another thing that was absolutely brilliant was knowing that you would go somewhere and you would get something tasty to eat. There was a really good blog. I think it was just called Vegan Disney World, and she has a YouTube channel, and it's obviously one of these
people. Yeah, I know it.
You do? Yeah, so she must live like 5 minutes from the park, goes in whenever there's a new thing on a menu anywhere and tries it and gives you a fairly honest review of it. So that was really helpful. Again, another spreadsheet was created of, it was broken down by park, then by land, then by table service, quick service, cart, kiosk, and then what was in it, whether, you know, I mean, this is, as well, you know, it's so easy to turn it into a hobby and to sort of extend your excitement for the trip as well. So I took a great deal of joy, you know, a lot of people were rolling their eyes and kind of giggling about it a little bit, and fair enough, but I really, really enjoyed that aspect of the planning. So we did that. I had a full-on breakdown of knowing where we were in a park. If my kid says she's hungry and we need to get a snack, I know that it's not worth going to this particular kiosk because they're not really going to have much. But if I go over here, there's like three or four things. So again, that was about maximizing our time in the park, not just stood there looking at menus on phones for ages. I found that really, really helped. So obviously, you know, with your table service, you should book ahead of time. So I wanted to make sure I was able to do that in the 60-day window as well. And then it was all the other stuff, really. It was, you know, you getting your Esther sorted and, you know, finding cheap flights that weren't going to crush you in like sardines and all of that sort of stuff. You know, anyone who's been to Disney World knows that side of things. But yeah, I absolutely love the planning thing. I'm planning the next one already. You know, it's I'm literally waiting for the dates for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween, because we're going at the same time of year again. So I can thoroughly flesh out the sort of day by day itinerary, because I want to be able to avoid park days on party nights and things like that.
So, yeah. Well, we'll talk more food in a little while, because I want to find out your favourite snacks and where you ate. But also, I believe you used the DashPass system when you were at Walt Disney World as well.
That's right. So my daughter is ASD. She's on the spectrum. And I know it's a real point of contention at the moment, because they changed those rules last year. So that now the Disability Access Service is geared primarily towards helping people with developmental disability and things like that, and who aren't physically able to wait in a line, as opposed to people with other disabilities, either, you know, physical, visible, invisible, what have you, which is it's a tricky one. I think Disney does need to do some work addressing some of that stuff, but as it happened, it didn't really affect us, because the things that we needed the DashPass for were still kind of included in what they're looking for when they're kind of going through their criteria. So, you know, it was a matter of, I think 30 days before, getting your VPN sorted, because once again, Disney doesn't want to speak to you if you're outside of the US, apparently. I know you can go to like the town hall on the day, I think, and sort it out in person there. But again, if you're a giddy man child like me, you want to be in the park.
You're a planner.
Yeah. Anything I can do beforehand so I can get straight on to Tiana's, I'm going to do it. So we gave them a call. We spoke to a lovely cast member. You know, I won't go into the details too much, but they asked a couple of questions. They very briefly had to speak to Beanie, my daughter, and then they issued it. And that was that. And it was great. It was massively, massively helpful. What I found was that, because you're still waiting, it's not a skip the queue or anything, but you're just waiting elsewhere. But what it meant was, we could go and get a snack. We could go and stand in some AC for 5 minutes if I knew that we wanted to go on Seven Dwarves, I could set my return time for that, because you do it all in the app. You know, it pops up as a little extra thing in the app when you've got it. You set your return time and it just tells you come back at any point after this, and then you go through as if it were a lightning lane, really, but you've still waited the same amount of time as someone standing there. But it just really helped regulate her, keep her cool and calm, or as cool and calm as you can be when you're a 7-year-old in Disney World. And it made such a massive difference to the holiday overall. I think there would have been so many more struggles. Not that there weren't any, because that's just the nature of children, but it was really, really nice being able to kind of, again, take our time, know what her limits were and accommodate them. And the DAS really does do that. I hope they come up with some sort of system that also facilitates that for other people who need it, who maybe don't have developmental disability, but something else that, you know, that works for them and helps them enjoy the parks as much as they should for the amount that you're paying for tickets these days.
Drew is with us on the podcast. We're going to talk about some of your favourite Walt Disney World things in a moment. After a news update, shall I talk about Disney World or the big Disney news first? You probably will have heard by now, but Disney have announced they will be building a 7th Castle Park. Yes, a brand new Disney location. They're going to be building in Abu Dhabi in the Middle East. So Disney will be Imagineering and building this park, but they won't be running it. In a similar way to Disneyland in Japan, where it's run by a completely different group, which, to be honest, although I've not been to Japan yet, a lot of people say it's the greatest of the Disney parks because they just put so much money in it, because it's not Disney's money, it's a different company. The Mirel Group will be operating Disneyland Abu Dhabi, which is the working title at the minute, by the way. We don't know if it's going to be called that. That group, by the way, also, if you've been to Abu Dhabi, they have the Ferrari World in Abu Dhabi, Waterworld, Warner Brothers World, the Etihad Arena over there, SeaWorld Abu Dhabi. The waterfront is all owned by this entertainment group. So I'm expecting big things. There will be a brand new look Disney Castle, according to Bob Iger, when he announced all the details a few days ago, which looks on the concept art. It looks like it's going to be built out of glass or crystal. The park's going to be on the waterfront. We don't know how long it's going to take to build. Let's just wait and see. They want it open as soon as, is what they were saying about that. So we'll have to wait and see. Yes, just as I'm about to complete my six castles, they only go and build a new one. Oh, dear. We'll watch this space. News from Walt Disney World, though. And we've got more about the Beak and Barrel at Magic Kingdom. This is going to be the Pirates of the Caribbean Lounge, the tavern, which will serve booze. And it will be a 45-minute limit. That's all you're allowed in there. Just 3/4 of an hour. The Geo82 Lounge at Epcot is now taking reservations. It looks quite expensive. I mean, have a look at the menu. I like bourbon. I like whiskies. Some very expensive whiskies in there. You're talking about an average of $28 for a cocktail. Even the mocktails, which again look quite good. Even the mocktails are like $17. Very expensive. Also in there is a fireworks experience where you can sit in the lounge and you'll be able to have champagnes and a few snacks and see a view of the fireworks. That's coming in at $179 each. And it opens on the 4th of June, but you can start reserving spots in there now. Every day up to so far is sold out. So people complain about how much it is, but people still pay the price. There's a new meet and greet over at Frontierland. If you're a fan of the Country Bears, Romeo McGrawl is now meeting. And the only other big news is that free dining is now on if you're looking to book. Do your maths first. Make sure free dining is free dining. Make sure you know when you want to go, where you want to go, how much it would be with or without dining. Just keep an eye on that. Any news between now and the next podcast, follow us on the socials at PodMagical. So Drew is with us on the podcast, One Trip to Walt Disney World, and he bought DVC. Let's talk about some of your favourite resorts then, because you didn't stay at Disney, but you still bought into DVC. Did you have a look around some of the resorts? Was that what kind of made you want to stay there in future?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I think because I'd done so much, let's call it research. It sounds more grown up if it's research and not just hours of watching people on YouTube videos wandering around and staying in these absolutely gorgeous places. But I sort of had as soon as the idea of DVC was thrown around, I sort of had a bit of a shortlist. It also depends on what's available at the time in terms of what their contracts they're selling. So yeah. Both my wife and daughter love animals. So Kidani Village was definitely an option. It was up there, and there were one or two others that we considered, and they are escaping me at the moment. But as I say, Riviera was really the one to sell it to us. You know, the Skyliner access, absolutely fantastic. The fact that you're so close to, you know, like Caribbean Beach and things like that, it's so easy to go resort hopping from there. You know, that really, really did sell it to us. I think the Skyliner access is a really big perk for a lot of people who either stay at, you know, Riviera or buy into Riviera. I think you're Riviera man, aren't you?
I'm Riviera. Excellent. Yeah, I'm Riviera. We bought into Riviera, exactly the same thing. We'll let's just go to a meeting and we'll see what it's about. And then at least what we did, though, we've been to Disney World quite a few times. We were on a cruise and we went, we'll go to this because they've given us $25. So let's just go, but we're not buying.
Yep, no.
And then, you know, they've got you on a cruise ship. You're going nowhere for 7 days. And then by the end of it, you've signed up and you bought into Riviera, which was somewhere that I'd never, well, it hadn't even been built when I bought into it.
Right, of course.
And then bought some resale as well. So, yeah. And the good thing is with DVC that, you know, if nobody knows how it works, you get points. And then 11 months before you want to stay is when you can book into your home resort. Mm-hmm. But 7 months before you want to go, you can go to any of the other hotels. Yeah. So you book your home resort. And then if you want to move it, you can, you know, go to somewhere else. I quite often move to Boardwalk if it's available. Have you got any particular favorite resorts that you want to stay at?
These are probably ones where we're going to have to like maybe bank a year and borrow a year, or do you know what I mean, to sort of jiggle your points around to be able to get enough. But I desperately want to do the Treehouse Villas at Saratoga, and I would really like to do things like the Garden Suites as well. Just, you know, that you're essentially like in a full-on separate building almost.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to do things like that. And I think that's a sort of eventuality. But obviously, having not actually stayed at Riviera yet, the novelty is not even begun to wear off because we haven't been. We did, and I'm not saying anyone should do this, we did cheekily spend a day by the pool at the Riviera. I know. Well, we signed the contract and sort of said, you know, do you think we could, this would really help us sort of cement that we want to do this. Do you think we could maybe hang out by the pool? And what they said to us was, not really, but if I'm honest with you, as long as you just sort of walk around with an air like you're meant to be there, no one's going to stop you. So, you know, that's what we did.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Yeah, yeah. We spent a cheeky sort of late morning, afternoon, just chilling by the Riviera pool and eating at Primo Piatto and just really, you know, trying to affirm that we'd made the right decision, I think.
But a bit late for that.
Well, yes. You have your cooling period. It's fine.
But, well, of course, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I want to stay all over the place, really. I would love to kind of visit a lot of the kind of top rated, you know, the new Polynesian Tower looks absolutely gorgeous. I think it'd be nice to stay there at some point. And, you know, at that point, you're at monorail distance from Magic Kingdom as well. So that would be lovely. And, yeah, I think, you know, eventually we'll just sort of knock off as many as we can. But certainly the first few stays are going to be Riviera bound for sure.
Homestays.
Yeah, or split stay maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, split stays are good, and they move your bags for you as well, so that's always quite a nice thing. And the good thing is with split stays, because on your first day of your trip, you get to use one of the water parks. So if you have a split stay, the middle of your trip, when you move out of one hotel to another one, that day you get to use a water park for free.
Yeah,
it's not
true.
On your ticket.
Yeah. Although, I mean, saying that, most of the time, the 14-day ticket that they offer you in the UK, I think usually includes the
water parks.
So, yeah. I mean, if you're over there and you've not bought tickets or if you're US DVC or whatever, then yeah, absolutely. But if you're a UK, you get a really good deal on those tickets. You know, the 14 days for seven with the Memory Maker, with the water parks and everything else. I mean, that's great because, you know, the Memory Maker alone, I think, is a fantastic thing to have.
It.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I bought annual pass, but I think unless you go in for like two, maybe even three trips in a year, it's not worth it because my annual pass will be expiring and I'm probably not going to renew it for now. Mm. I think what I might do is we'll have a year off Disney World and then we'll go back for 2 weeks and get the ticket. And then maybe our next trip, we'll try and go at 1 year and then we'll go the following year. But 11 months later, so we can get two trips in one. Yeah, squeeze it all in. I want to talk food with you. You're plant-based, vegan.
Yes.
You said you did your research with snacks and restaurants. Favorite places to eat? Where did you go and what did you have?
I would love to say that we went to the finest of fine dining. And I would love to say that, you know, we got a Disney nanny for the evening and went to Victoria and Albert's, but that is not the case. We have a 7-year-old. So we did do a few really nice meals. We did Woody's Rodeo Roundup, which was cracking. I think that was a real highlight for me. You know, I was, 10 years old when the first Toy Story came out, so I've always had a massive affinity for those characters and those films. So the level of theming in there is brilliant. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
did Andy come into the room? Did you have to stop when Andy came in?
Yeah. So
everybody has to freeze.
Yeah. And I love that it is just given. Everyone in there is on board. Everyone else is a toy, you know, who freezes perfectly still. I particularly liked when you first walk in, if you have a child with you, they have little hobby horses, you know, a horse's head on a stick. So you can ride a horse to your table if you're a child, which is absolutely marvelous. The food was really good. So it's a family style food brought to your table. Obviously, typically it's sort of, you know, your ribs, your chicken, your sausage links, that sort of stuff. It's very similar if you're plant-based. It's just vegan versions of those, essentially, you know, and it was really, really tasty. You know, you get your corn and your desserts and everything else. So you do not feel like you are missing out or an afterthought or anything like that. And again, because it's all you care to enjoy, you can just keep it coming as long as you can fit food inside you. what we did was, because you're not supposed to, they won't doggy bag it up for you, but we did have some bags and things with us for other reasons. So we did have a pretty full skillet, which we bagged up and took back and put in the fridge and had for lunch the following day.
Breakfast.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? So that was really, really magical. We did the breakfast at Ohana as well. As I mentioned before, my daughter's a massive Stitch fan. So that's the only place where you get to have breakfast with Lilo and Stitch and eat Stitch's face, because they do Stitch waffles there as
Stitch waffles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that was really nice as well. Again, they did like a tofu scramble, the like impossible sausages that they do all over the parks, all of that stuff. So that was really, really nice as well. There was a few places that I booked into that I ended up having to cancel that I'm really looking forward to next time, like Garden Grill, Sci-Fi Dine, Sci-Fi Drive-Through, or whatever it's called. You know, the one where you sit in the cars.
Yeah, we know the one.
Yeah. and I quite like to do Space 220, but we need to have a bit of a conversation about that one, because it's fairly pricey and the menu changes quite often. So
yeah, you can use the bar.
You
can book online to get into, rather than going to the restaurant where you have to have three courses.
Yeah,
you can just get lounge, book into the lounge,
yeah,
have a drink and a few appetizers between you. They don't really mind. You can spend what you would for one person for three of you. So
yeah, absolutely.
And it's exactly the same place. It's exactly the same room. So in fact, probably better seating because you're slightly raised up.
Oh, fantastic. So, that was another consideration. If we don't go for the full meal, we can go for a drink and an appetizer or something. Same with Nomad Lounge and Tiffin's. You know, it's all coming from the same kitchen, but you can usually walk up to Nomad Lounge and get a spot somewhere. So, yeah, those two really stood out for me. We didn't eat in the parks every day because, you know, you just can't.
Because you've just bought DVC, so you can't afford.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, because obviously, you know, that's not an insubstantial amount. So, yes, we did have a few, you know, Uncrustables and things on a few days. But, yeah, when we did eat out, we found that the theme park food was generally pretty good. You know, a lot of really good options. I managed to get 2 days in the parks by myself, which was absolutely glorious. Apparently, Andy, when I plan a trip to Disney World, it is both relentless and exhausting, to quote my wife.
So they needed a day away from you.
So you
didn't have a day in the park on your own. They had a day away from you.
Essentially. They got to spend the morning by the pool, and then I think they went shopping in the afternoon. And I, on one day, rope dropped Hollywood Studios, and on the second day, I rope dropped Magic Kingdom, and I was there till close on both days. I did everything.
Well done.
But yeah, I went to Pinocchio Village House and had their plant-based flatbread there, which was really, really nice. It was just a vegan pizza, actually, yeah. And that was fantastic as well. And that was what was really nice about that was I got to sit out on the balcony overlooking Fantasyland and just take it all in for a little while and sit and enjoy the lunch and everything else. Yeah, that was really, really lovely.
One for your list for September, as you'll be staying at Riviera. Mm. You can probably even walk to Sebastian's Bistro, which is in Caribbean Beach. Again, a great plant-based option, because last time there was about six of us, so we were like 50-50,
sure,
plant-based and meat-based. And the plant-based option is actually better than the meat-based option, because the head chef is vegan. So he puts a little bit more care and attention into it. So pop that in. And probably one of the cheapest places to eat on property as well. I'm not too far from the river.
Well, this is it. I can scout on your river.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure you can just walk. I think you can literally walk down around the big lake there. Get your steps in and then burn it off and have even more from that endless dessert. So from the days at Disney World, favourite attraction, Drew?
Don't make me choose one, Andy.
Oh, you can have two then.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very generous. So before I went to Walt Disney World, my favourite attraction at Paris was the Tower of Terror. I'm a massive Twilight Zone fan. I'm a massive Thrill Ride fan. And so that married the two beautifully, the theming and everything else. So unfortunately, the Tower of Terror has just been nudged out by Rise of the Resistance.
Ah.
I am a giant Star Wars fan. You know, I I've spent, I don't want to think how much money on books and toys and clothing and apparel. And, you know, we did Savvy's Workshop, Droid Depot, the lot while we were there. Rise of the Resistance was one of the few things I actually didn't spoil for myself as well in my planning stage, because obviously every ride at Disney has a million POVs on YouTube. My daughter was concerned about a lot of things being too frightening for her, so we watched a lot of POVs to reassure her.
Gotta check. And
yeah, absolutely. You know, just kind of allowing her to feel like she's making her own decision there, and everything else. So, but there were one or two that I was specifically excited for, and I didn't want to spoil for myself. And Rise of the Resistance was one of them. So, it exceeded my expectations. It was absolutely unbelievable at the level of immersion. From the moment you walk into that queue, BB-8 rolls out, all of that stuff, walking onto the transporter. It was one ride where I came out and thought, I'm not sure how they've done that. And I feel like I'm quite a savvy person with sort of Imagineering and you know, the illusion of engineering and things. But the fact that you get into this transporter and then, you know, obviously screens come on and you are lifted up into an Imperial Star Destroyer. But when the transporter door opens, you're in the hangar bay of the Star Destroyer, but the transporter was outside. It wasn't in a show building. How on earth have you done that? And I've still not I've still not looked it up because I don't want to ruin that magic for myself.
All right. Do you want me to tell you?
No. Goodness, no.
Okay.
I want to believe I was joining the resistance. No.
You did join the resistance.
I did.
I know what you mean because the first time you go on it, and the first time I went on it, I hadn't watched it, so I didn't any spoilers. So the door I came in at, I assumed, all right, oh, so when we land, because I know we're going to this room, I'm guessing it's the other door. And then when the door that we came in opened, I was like, hang on a minute, how's that? But then I have a friend in Imagineering and I said, how does that work? And he went, oh, I'll tell you, because I've been underneath.
I mean,
I'm not saying anymore.
No, that's fine. And I think I know what's going on, but I'm just not quite willing to, you know, dispel that magic for myself. It's very easy as an adult to see the creases and the crevices and the hinges on things. It's very easy to kind of, you know, put your adult brain in and go, I know how this works. I know what the trick is here. And I don't with that, not for certain. And I'm going to leave it like that, at least for now, because that's truly magical to me that they managed to trick me like that. It's great. But yeah, that whole thing was absolutely beautiful. My other favorite is the Haunted Mansion. Big old fan of the Haunted Mansion. Love Phantom Manor. Love the Haunted Mansion. Love the way the lore of it all spills out around the park and everything else, especially in Paris. Yeah.
And did you venture out from, because you say you stay on International Drive last time. Mm. Did you venture anywhere else, Universal or SeaWorld or anywhere like that shopping or?
Yeah. Again, as I say, I would have been very happy to, you know, be up before the sun and be dropped off at Epcot or whatever. But no, my family insisted we do other things. How selfish of them. So we did do 2 days in Universal, which was fine. The Harry Potter sections of the park are beautiful and immersive, and you can tell where all the Disney engineers that got laid off 10 years ago went, because it's very magical there. My daughter got chosen for a wand at Ollivander's, which was a highlight of the trip. I did not expect anything at Universal to be a highlight for me because I'm so into Disney, but that was a real goosebumps moment for me, her standing there picking the right wand, the fans coming on, the lights coming down, the music swelling. You know, there were tears in the eyes at that moment. That was really, really cool. Other parts of Universal I feel are desperately in need of some love, and hopefully once Epic Universe is kind of up and running for a while, they can maybe concentrate on that a little bit, because it very much feels like a park from 20 years ago in most places. You know, and Universal's got its fans, and I don't want to discredit that. I think there's a lot of fun to be had there, but yeah, maybe my bias is talking, but I think when you look at what Disney does and the level of detail that they put into every single square inch, including the way cast members interact and all of that stuff, it really rises above. But other than 2 days in Universal, I tell you what we did do that everyone needs to do, and I'd be surprised if you've not done this, Andy. Have you been to the Lakeland Antique Mall?
No, I have not.
Okay, so you want to drive out to Lakeland or get an Uber out to Lakeland. It's an antique mall, which is about the size of a large supermarket here. And inside it is a bunch of separate sort of booths and rooms, and it's all vintage and, you know, it's all antiques. However, due to its proximity to Disney World, it's lots and lots of Disney World antiques.
Don't.
You have got and everything is for sale, but it's like walking into a museum. So in the front, before you even walk in, Cinderella's carriage from one of the parades is out front that you can buy. There's no price on it, but you can ask the price. You walk in, they've got Imagineering jackets. They've got old ride vehicles. There was one of the toboggan style old Space Mountain ride vehicles for sale. They have signage. They had some of the signage that was up on the castle when they were decorating it for the 50th. They have old cast member badges. They've got anything you can imagine is in there. They've got a cabinet with a Snow White doll signed by Walt Disney in there. They've got all of the figures that used to be in the windows of the Disney store are in there. It's absolutely, you can spend a day in there. It's absolutely.
That sounds like a theme park in itself.
It was a destination day for me. I saw, so Paige and Mr. Morrow has done one or two videos where he's gone out there, a YouTuber, which I'm sure most people have heard of. Great guy.
I've met him.
Oh, I'm very, very jealous. I would love to meet that guy and just tell him how much he's done for me in terms of planning and things. We have to go to this. One of the bigger parts of the antique mall has now moved to Winter Garden, and they've opened their own store called Recycling the Magic, which is the same thing, but in Winter Garden. So there's two options.
Yeah,
there,
I follow
them. I would absolutely say, they've got their own little place, but they before were based in the Lakeland Antique Mall. It's 40 minutes there, but oh my goodness, is it absolutely worth it. We were in there for hours just finding treasure after treasure after treasure.
What did you buy?
So nothing massively expensive, unfortunately. They had a lot of original film cells and things as well, with certificates of authenticity. So things like cells from The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. I came very close to picking up one of those. They had a lot of like retired park merchandise. So, you know, the stuff that goes to the outlets, they had a lot of that there, but priced really, really low. So I bought some pins. I bought a lot of the retired Galaxy's Edge stuff. I came very, very close to buying a Animal Kingdom Imagineering jacket that was given to the team that they wore while the park was being developed in the 90s. But I think it was about $500 and... No. We just bought DVC,
so it's not.
So it wasn't on the card.
Like anything,
time. But we're going back. We're going next back time, next time. So purchases will be made.
Before you go, Drew, here is your chance to walk me through your most perfect day at Walt Disney World. You can stay where you want, do what you want, eat what you want, ride what you want. Talk me through from dusk till dawn. What you're doing?
All right, strap in, pal. Here we go. So
I'm strapped in.
I want to start off by saying...
I'm strapped in. Let me just pull the yellow tag. Yep, fine. Carry on.
Yeah, as long as we can see that, that's fine. Good. So I'm going to start by saying my perfect day begins with my wife and daughter having had an amazing night's sleep, and they're both bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and they're going to have energy for the day. That's one of the most important elements of this. So we're going to wake up around 6 in the morning at the Riviera in the 3-bed villa. This is all on you, by the way, isn't it, Andy?
You've got the points now. So there's
No, that's fair enough. So
we banked and borrowed.
Boy, did we. So what I've done on my perfect day is I've booked an all-day VIP tour.
He's cheating.
Is it, though? No, this is Andy. This is something.
Oh, no, you can do it. If you've got the money, you can do it.
Absolutely. I'm going to sell this house, live in a tent 11 months out of the year, spend one month in Florida and have a banging time while I'm doing it.
Sounds like a great idea.
I'm going to get my coffee from Le Petit Café on the way to the Skyliner to Hollywood. And then we're going to rope drop and head straight for Galaxy's Edge, jump on Rise of the Resistance and Smuggler's Run. I'm going to get the veggie Ronto wrap from Ronto Roasters as a bit of a brunch. Then we're going to scoot around to Toy Story Land, head on to Toy Story Mania and Slinky Dog. From there, I think we'll go to Mickey and Minnie's, jump on the Tower of Terror. And then because it's a VIP tour, I get on the van backstage and they drive me straight over to Magic Kingdom. I don't go through TTC or over the lake. And I'm going to stroll down Main Street at that point. The Dapper Dans are going to be there and they're going to ask me to come and join in with them. Yeah. So I'm going to get up.
Join in.
I'm going to sing with the Dapper Dans. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we're just going to go clockwise around the park. We're going to try and hit pirates. I'd like to eat a Dole Whip in Tiki Room. We're going to do Haunted Mansion twice. We're going to do Tron. We're going to do the People Mover because that's important. Then for my dinner, I'm just going to grab a hot dog from Casey's, And we're just going to, again, bask in the ambience on Main Street for a bit. And then I think we'll do a fireworks dessert party towards the end of the night.
Oh, why not?
And then after the fireworks, you normally get a little bit of time. So we'll do the Country Bears musical jamboree, maybe ride the Liberty Bell if there's time. And then we're going to get a minivan back to the Riviera and probably have a beer at Bar Riva. And then I'm going to collapse into bed and stay unconscious for 2 days.
Yeah, I was going to say your wife and daughter aren't getting up tomorrow because
that's a rest day.
You've wiped them out there, Drew.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been lovely chatting to you. Enjoy your first day at Riviera in September.
Cannot wait. Really cannot wait.
I expect you to tag us in all your pictures, then we can have a look. We can nosy around that 3-bedroom villa.
Absolutely, of course. And thank you very much. Thank you very much for talking to me today, Andy.
You're welcome, and have a magical day.
You too.
Heading over to Walt Disney World soon. Let me know when you'll be back. Let's get you on the podcast to talk about all things Disney World. Or if you've not been for a while, or maybe you've only ever been once and it was 30 years ago, let's get you on the podcast at PodMagical if you would like to be a podcast guest. If you're going to be going over the next few weeks, crowds should be moderate. There is a cheerleading competition going on this weekend, so it might be a little bit busy, but then midweek crowds should drop a little bit. Busier weekend, this weekend in particular. Temperatures, low 20s to high 20s during the day. Mostly dry. If you check the weather app, you'll see thunderstorms every day, but they will come and they will go, as they always do. End of May, by the way, talking about crowds, it's Memorial Day weekend, so just keep an eye on that one. Oh, also this weekend, if you're going to go over to Walt Disney World and you're a mum, well, lucky for you, because America celebrate Mother's Day at a different time to how we celebrate. We always celebrate before Easter. This weekend, Mother's Day in Disney World. So, I don't know, maybe you're a mum, you might get two out of it. Epcot's Flower and Garden Festival continues. There's a few new items for food. The summer menus at some of the food booths for Flower and Garden Festival have started. Music-wise, the Garden Rock series, John Cicada plays this weekend, tonight and tomorrow. That's Friday and Saturday. If you're listening to this podcast today, it comes out. Next weekend, the Spinners, who I think we know as the Detroit Spinners, and then the Pointer Sisters after that. Universal are gearing up to open Epic Universe, May the 22nd, the official opening date, but it's into previews at the moment. SeaWorld have got a Latin festival over the next couple of weeks. Also, free beer at SeaWorld. I remember way back early noughties, first time I ever went to SeaWorld, used to get free beer and free Budweiser. Well, that's back. Yeah, you get free beer if you're over 21, obviously. Pound to dollar is around 1.33 at the minute. And here is a top tip to finish off the podcast. I always finish off the podcast with a top tip. If you park at Epcot, when you're going to Magic Kingdom, it'll probably save you a bit of time at the end, and it can be quite fun. Yes. So it gets a bit, coming out of Magic Kingdom after the fireworks, it gets crazy, crazy busy, and you've got to wait for the little train to take you to the other end of the car park. Not that I drive, but if you do drive and you're taking a car, just try this, maybe just for one night. Park at Epcot, take the monorail to Magic Kingdom, then at the end of your Magic Kingdom night, avoid the chaos, just get on the monorail back. Also, it takes you through Epcot at night, because that's the leg that goes round Spaceship Earth and then back to the monorail station. So it's quite cool. It's something different. It might save you a bit of time if you're driving at Walt Disney World. If you've got any tips you'd like to share with me, let me know. We are at PodMagical on the socials. Brand new podcasts coming out every other week. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. So hit that subscribe button. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.